Celebrate, congratulate yourself, bask in the spotlight, but do not slip into the false comfort of contentment or the delusion that it is all downhill from here. Here is my advice. When you are in second place, attack the leader. When you are in first place, attack yourself. There is no time for complacency. You cannot afford the luxury of comparing yourself to those behind you. Achieving by dumbing down your expectations is just plain stupid. Create new goals for yourself and new challenges. Raise the bar so that you keep reaching higher. There is no time to rest. The 30-day rule will get you. It is easy to look back at poor performance or a failure with 20/20 vision and find all the areas where improvement can be made. But it takes loads of self-discipline and the heart of a winner to break down a brilliant performance and then take action to make small adjustments and improvements that keep you ahead of the pack. The great NFL quarterback Steve Young said that the principle is competing against yourself. It's about self-improvement, about being better than the day before. This is what all elite athletes and elite sales professionals do. Real winners constantly attack themselves. They pick apart each performance and seek ways to improve. They view each victory as a small step towards new goals. It is this unwavering focus on constant improvement that separates the good from the great and makes today's winners tomorrow's champions. Chapter 22. 11 words that changed my life. Do more than is required. What is the distance between someone who achieves their goals consistently and those who spend their lives and careers merely following? The extra mile. Gary Ryan Blair. I don't remember where I found the 11 words that changed my sales career. What I do remember is the words resonated with me instantly. When it is time to go home, make one more call. I wrote that sentence down on an index card and taped it over my desk. It was always the last thing I looked at before I hit the streets to go on my sales calls. Those words became my mantra. On days when I was dragging my ass because I'd had it handed to me by prospects I couldn't close, when it was hot, cold, raining, or snowing, when I was tired, worn out, burned out, or when I was coming up with really good excuses to knock off early for the day, this mantra, when it's time to go home, make one more call, kept me going for one more call and sometimes two, three, or four. The impact of those extra calls was mind-blowing. So many of my one more calls turned into sales. It was as if the universe was rewarding me for sticking to it. That final push paid off, and it kept paying off in my performance and my paycheck. Income I would never have generated if I had not developed the discipline to make one more call. Over the years, I've shared this mantra with the sales professionals who work for me, and I continue to share it with the new generation of sales professionals I train. I get dozens of calls, text messages, and emails on Friday afternoons or near dark from salespeople who say things like, "Hey Jeb, you're not going to believe this. I was about to give up, but decided to make one last call, and the guy bought from me right on the spot. Can you believe that?" This kind of sales serendipity happens every day across the globe to sales pros who are fanatical about making one more call. Fanatical prospectors have the self-discipline to do the hard things in sales. Now, do these top performers get tired, hungry, feel their resolve wavering, and want to give up and go home? Of course they do. Do these top performers love prospecting or the other activities required for success in sales? Well, of course not. They don't enjoy these activities any more than the salespeople who are failing. What top performers understand is that to succeed at the highest level, they've got to pay for their success in advance with hard work, sacrifice, doing things they hate, and making one more call. Chapter 23. The only question that really matters. My son plays wide receiver for a small-town high school football team in the heart of the South, where football is more than a game. It's a religion. Friday nights under the lights are sacred. And in this cathedral of sport, few things are worse than going into a game knowing that your chances of winning are slim to none. But that was how the stage was set for what we call the backyard brawl, the traditional first game of the season between our school and a rival across the county line. Years ago, when this rivalry was first conceived, the game was an even match. But over time, economic expansion in the county next door helped our rival school grow in size. With that growth, they gained more resources, funding, and players. Their facilities are beautiful and their crowd of fans large. This inequity had been a major contributor to our six straight backyard brawl losses. As our small contingent of parents entered their stadium on Friday night and walked across the manicured field and past our rivals' huge crowd, there was little hope to lift us up. We knew and they knew what the outcome of this game would be. So we settled in for our traditional beating and prepared for the after-game cliches and platitudes we'd use to lift the spirits of our sons. At midfield, the opposing team towered above our boys. Taller, bigger, faster, stronger, and there were many more of them compared to our limited bench. It was intimidating. A casual observer comparing the two teams would quickly conclude that our team had no chance of winning. The whistle blew, and on the first series of downs, they stopped us dead in our tracks. The parents sighed, and the team punted. On the next set of downs, the other team began systematically advancing towards our end zone. That's when our coach started screaming from the sideline, "How bad do you want it, boys? How bad do you want it?" Then we slowed them down. Then we stopped them. Then we forced a punt. It was a stunning, unexpected moment for both teams and a payoff for 3 solid months of planning, practice, and focus directed at this one moment of truth. The turning point when our young men truly believed that they could play head-to-head against their much larger rivals and not get pushed around. Our players and coaches had invested endless hours viewing film. They worked harder and pushed harder than ever before in brutal practices. Coach Bo, our head coach, took our boys to watch the other team play in the preseason and showed them where they were weak. And then there were the infamous sled drills. Coach Bo prepared his players to win mentally by making them push a heavy sled laden with the extra weight of the entire coaching staff 6 times a day. 6 times for each of the 6 previous losses. Pushing the sled was awful and grueling and designed to harden them mentally. Coach Bo knew that when the team reached their breaking point, nothing they faced would be worse than pushing that sled. And of course, the thought of adding a 7th rep that they lost was unbearable. Our underdogs turned it on and battled their Goliath adversaries as equals. Time and time again, we stopped them. Tackles behind the line, balls batted down on passes that would have been touchdowns, sacks that made the pocket a dangerous place, and punts that pinned them back to their end zone. With each stop, the refrain, "How bad do you want it?" gained more meaning. Everything the other team poured at us, we somehow, someway, improbably stopped. Then we scored. Our running back scrambled, broke tackles, and managed to stay on his feet. Out in front of him, our blockers threw themselves at the defenders. As he dove across the goal line, a roar erupted from our stands. We'd drawn first blood. The other team was stunned. It was not supposed to happen this way. Beating our team had become so routine that they'd checked the win column on their schedule before the game even started. Their fans fell silent as their players, heads hung low, limped off the field to the locker room at the half. Our boys, who were playing both sides of the ball, sprinted off the field. Their bodies were exhausted and the steaming South Georgia heat had taken its toll. But mentally, they were on fire. They wanted it. On the opening play of the second half, the other team caught a break on a missed tackle and took the ball all the way down to our 5-yard line. It appeared that they'd regrouped and re-energized at halftime. But our boys held them in the red zone, and we got the ball back on downs. It was unbelievable. For the next 30 minutes, it was a bare-knuckle brawl, back and forth and back and forth. They threw everything at us, including the kitchen sink. Each time, we held the line and pushed them back. But with just 2 minutes left on the clock, we turned the ball over. In a gut-wrenching final push, the other team somehow got a second win and marched down the field, completing pass after pass. Our boys were past the point of exhaustion. Coach Bo was screaming from the sideline, "One more play, one more down. How bad do you want it?" We finally stopped them on third down, but the clock refused to die. There was still time for one more play. Fourth down and 5 seconds left on the clock. The final play of the game, with everything on the line. The suspense was unbearable. It was a heart stopper. 5 seconds on the clock. One shot to get into the end zone. How bad do you want it, boys? How bad do you want it? From our 15-yard line, the ball was snapped, and that's when everything shifted into slow motion. Their quarterback stepped back into the pocket, searching desperately for an open receiver. Then he cocked his arm and hurled the ball into the air towards the corner of the end zone. The ball seemed to float for an eternity. Their star receiver leaped high, his fingertips reaching and grasping for the perfectly thrown pass. Our outgunned defender scrambled, frantically trying to knock it loose. For one still second, there was complete silence in the stands. Everything stopped. It looked as if their receiver would come down with the ball. I could hear Coach Bo's words echoing in my head. "How bad do you want it, boys? How bad do you want it?" Our defender reached for the ball, stretching himself to the very limit. With one final push, he connected and tipped the ball out of the receiver's hands. It dropped, uncaught, onto the grass in the back of the end zone. And as it rolled to a stop, there was a sudden, deafening realization that we had won. Then there was bedlam. We screamed and danced and hugged and congratulated. Our boys had done the impossible. They had won the backyard brawl. In sales and life, there will always be somebody or something intimidating, a competitor, or some problem that is bigger, faster, stronger, or smarter than you. There will always be a mountain you'll have to climb and an uphill battle you'll have to fight in order to reach your goal. The Broward Buccaneers proved once again what great teams and great people have always known. When you are faced with a challenge or when the game is on the line, it's not about how big you are, how strong, how much training, resources, experience, background, degrees, talent, intelligence, money, that BS story you keep telling yourself about why you can't, or any of the other things that far too often become excuses that hold you back. When you face your Goliath, when you set your goals, when you face fear, rejection, and adversity, when you are tired and worn out and have the choice to go home or make one more call, the only question that really matters is how bad do you want it? Acknowledgements. Over the past 10 years, I've made several stabs at writing this book. Yet each time I attempted to write down the things that I do, teach, and coach so freely, I couldn't seem to find the words. So I wrote other books instead, 6 of them. I think part of the reason I had such a hard time getting this book out of my head is that fanatical prospecting is such a part of me. Rather than an abstract idea, it is who I am, the air that I breathe. Finding the words to express the very essence of what drives me as a sales professional and entrepreneur was difficult. On the other hand, maybe the timing wasn't right until now. All of the stars finally aligned for Fanatical Prospecting. The right people to inspire me, the right editor, the right publisher, the right clients, and the right business climate. I'm so grateful for all the people who played a role in making this book a reality. My friends, my family, employees, clients, mentors, and the team at John Wiley & Sons. First, to my amazing editor, Leah Octaviano. Your enthusiasm for this project was so motivating. When I was tired, frustrated, and worn out from writing, your words picked me up and pushed me to work harder. Thank you so much for being in my corner. If you are married to an author, you know just how tedious and boring it can be to listen to the endless blah, blah, blah about the book they're working on. You know the misery created by looming deadlines. You were patient as the entire world stops and revolves around the worn-out, strung-out, moody, bordering on schizophrenic writer who believes that everything he has written so far is total crap and no one will ever read it. Carrie, my beautiful wife and partner, thank you for being there for me every step of the way. Thank you for your patience as this project progressed over the past year, helping with the endless edits, and keeping everything going while our world stopped for this book. There would be no fanatical prospecting without you. I love you. Every time I spoke to my friend Jack Mitchell over the past year, he asked, "How's the book going?" Jack, you have no idea how big a kick in the pants your sincere interest in this project means to me. Thank you. Jody Bagwell, thank you for pushing me to finally write this book. Luke DeCesar, Jeff Werner, Lori Sylvester, you were the catalyst for this book, and it's because of you that I got off of my rear end and made the commitment to write it. I've had so much fun working with you the past 3 years, and I'm grateful for our friendship. Thank you. Daniel Boyle, Art Valle, Don Mikus, Rick Slusser, thank you for the trust you have placed in me. There are no words for the gratitude I feel for the opportunity you've given me to work with your team at Penske. Art, your story about chasing trucks on your wedding anniversary trip at the Ritz is priceless. That's fanatical. Andy Feldman, thank you for your enthusiasm for fanatical prospecting. We're building something very special together. Chris Gredig and the entire AccuSystems team, thank you for giving this book the final push it needed to get off the launch pad. Anthony Iannarino, Mark Hunter, Miles Austin, John Spence, and Mike Weinberg, I'm humbled that you guys allow me to be part of your mastermind group. Because of you, I'm better, more agile, and more focused than ever before. Mike, thank you for your inspiring foreword. You rock. Greg Derry, thank you for letting me tell your story. Keep that lunchbox handy. Brian Stanton and David Pinnell, I love you guys. There would be no fanatical prospecting without you. We started the movement together in Wanawakeville. Brooke Coxwell, April Huff, Brad Adams, Kaylee Wilcher, you get it done, making it possible for me to get it done. Thank you for everything you do. And Dante Hodge, my producer and engineer and director, thank you for making me look so good on this audiobook. I dedicated this book to Bob Blackwell, a man I consider to be one of the finest sales minds in the world. Bob was my sales manager when I was in my mid-20s. He was tough to work for. No bullshit, just the fundamentals. Bob shaped and honed the raw talent I had for sales. He turned me into a sales professional. Under Bob's tutelage, I learned how to prospect, manage the sales process, and close deals. He instilled in me the work ethic required for success in sales. Working for Bob was the best thing that ever happened to me and my family, and it is a debt that we will never be able to repay.
About the author. Jeb Blunt is a sales acceleration expert who helps sales organizations reach peak performance fast by optimizing talent, leveraging training to cultivate a high-performance sales culture, developing leadership and coaching skills, and applying more effective organizational design. Through his companies, Sales Gravy, Channel EQ, and Innovate Knowledge, Jeb advises many of the world's leading organizations and their executives on the impact of emotional intelligence and interpersonal skills on sales, leadership, customer experience, channel development, and strategic account management. Under Jeb's leadership, Sales Gravy has become a global leader in sales acceleration solutions, including sales recruitment and staffing, sales onboard automation, custom sales training curriculum development and delivery, sales coaching, and online learning. Jeb spends more than 200 days each year delivering keynote speeches and training programs to high-performing sales teams and leaders across the globe. As a business leader, Jeb has more than 25 years of experience with Fortune 500 companies, SMBs, and startups. He has been named one of the top 50 most influential sales and marketing leaders, Top Sales Magazine, a top 30 social selling influencer, Forbes, a top 10 sales expert to follow on Twitter, Evan Carmichael, a top 100 most innovative sales blogger, I See It, a top 20 must-read author, People Buy You, for entrepreneurs, YFS Magazine and Huffington Post, and the most downloaded sales podcaster in iTunes history, among many other accolades. His flagship website, salesgravy.com, is the most visited sales-specific website on the planet. He is the author of 7 books, including People Love You, The Real Secret to Delivering a Legendary Customer Experience, John Wiley & Sons, 2013. People Follow You, The Real Secret to What Matters Most in Leadership, John Wiley & Sons, 2011. People Buy You, The Real Secret to What Matters Most in Business, John Wiley & Sons, 2010. Sales Guys, 7 Rules for Outselling the Recession, Macmillan, 2009. Business Expert Guide to Small Business Success, Business Expert Publishing, 2009. Power Principles, Palm Tree Press, 2007. To schedule or learn more about Fanatical Prospecting Boot Camps, call 1-888-360-2249. Email Andy at salesgravy.com or visit fanaticalprospecting.com. To schedule Jeb to speak at your next event, call 1-888-360-2249. Email Jeb at salesgravy.com or visit jeb123.com.
This has been an Audible Studios production of Fanatical Prospecting, the ultimate guide for starting sales conversations and filling the pipeline by leveraging social selling, telephone, email, and cold calling. Written by Jeb Blunt. Performed by Jeb Blunt and Jeremy Arthur. Producer Mike Charzik. Copyright 2015 by Jeb Blunt. Production copyright 2016 by Audible Inc. Audible Studios is a division of Audible Inc.
Audible hopes you have enjoyed this program.